Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
It's the internet's most destructive comic book and pop culture podcast, and we are your hosts. My name is Chris Sims, and with me as always, not always in person, is Mr. Matt Wilson. Matt, how are you today?
Yes, this is one of our rare episodes where we are in the same room and recording the show. I'm doing well. Chris, I hope you're enjoying being in my home. We're recording in my home right now.
I'm enjoying being on allergy medicine. Because you have a very loud cat.
He is a loud kitty.
It is Halloween day. As we mentioned on a previous show, I've come up to spend Halloween with Matt. You know, like you do with your podcasting business partner.
Sure.
You spend some holidays together. You bring the girlfriend. And so by the time you were hearing this, Halloween will be over. So Merry Christmas, everyone.
That's right. Christmas has officially started.
Christmas has started. Put on your Santa hats, get the songs playing. It is the Christmas season. Matt, what was the first Christmas song you listened to this year?
As soon as it ended? As soon as Halloween ended?
No, I mean, like, what was the first one you listened to? I made it to May this year. And I was like, you know what? There's no reason not to be listening to these songs.
I do think I listened to some of the Phil Spector Christmas Gift for You album at some point this year that was not the Christmas season.
So, welcome to SantaCast.
That's right.
We're going to work on the deck SantaCast. No, we have a great show for you today. Matt and I are hanging out in Matt's office, where he has a beautiful 100 bison dollars framed up on the shelf.
That's right.
That's a good one.
There's also a ton of Kickstarter fulfillment boxes on the floor in here as I continue to send off Copernicus Jones trade paperbacks. So there are a lot of boxes on the floor.
Who is the Star Trek action figure that you have? Because there's a Kyle Starks original in front of it.
It's Riker.
Okay, cool.
It's
cool.
Battle Damage Riker.
I do love Battle Damage Riker. Is that William Riker or Thomas Riker?
It's William.
Okay.
I believe Ben Gully has Thomas Riker in his green uniform instead of his red uniform.
It's yellow. Because he's in engineering, obviously. Matt's.
I always see that as green.
I'm not getting letters from people telling us about Thomas Riker, Commander William Riker's transporter accident clone.
That color of Star Trek uniform I always see as green.
It's like a mustard. It's like a mustard yellow.
Yeah, I guess.
It just for looks security
it just
and engineering.
It just looks green to me every time.
So we got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about Santa Claus, we're going to be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation. We might have some special guests, but mostly it's just going to be me and Matt.
Yeah, I think where we should start is, as Chris mentioned, this is the day of Halloween.
It is October 31st as we record
this. We are all set to begin celebrating Halloween this evening at an event, a party. We're going to dress up. And we talked about our costumes last week, but I feel like we need to fully reveal what those are going to be, or what those were, to the listeners, because we teased it.
We teased it, and we asked for guesses.
We did.
Did anyone get yours right? Did anyone guess yours?
A lot of people got my costume. They did not guess Marlene's costume. Some people guessed that mine was going to be, or that we were going to be Mulder and Scully.
Right, because your hint that you gave out was that you were going to be an FBI agent.
I was going to have an FBI pin.
Yes.
On my costume. More people guessed that I was going to be Agent Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks, which is correct. That is who I'm going to be. Marlene is dressing as Laura Palmer, but not her corpse. She's going to be Laura Palmer, but in the Black Lodge, where she is still alive. And she found, like, a perfect Laura Palmer in the Black Lodge dress at Goodwill that, like, could not be more exact what Laura Palmer looks like. I don't think anybody guessed yours, Chris.
No, nobody guessed mine. There were a lot of good guesses, a lot of solid guesses. A lot of people guessed that because my clue was that I was going to have to dye my hair.
Right.
And I could not tell anyone which color because there are only two characters that I would have dressed as with that color hair. But a lot of people guessed that I was going to dress up Aiden and I as Sailor Mercury and Sailor Jupiter, who are my OTP.
That, I mean, that would have been pretty good.
This is good, but like, look, next year, we're thinking about that one for next year. There were a couple of other guesses. We did discuss Aiden dressing as me and me dressing as Matt, which would have been...
We also, on the show, we discussed dressing as each other.
Yes.
Which I think also would have been a disaster.
Ruined us. But we are Archie Andrews and Veronica Lodge. I am going to basically spray paint my head orange. I'm very excited about doing
yes,
that.
Yes, we just went to Target and got... All of us got one item for our costumes.
Yes.
Aiden got a hairband.
Right.
You got orange hair spray paint.
Yes.
I got some hair gel.
Mm-hmm.
And Marlene got a brooch.
An accessory. That matches Laura Palmer's. But yeah, like, I'm so excited about going to this party and being in a crowd and in a social situation, which you know makes me very comfortable.
Sure.
And just sweating orange onto my sweater that I'm going to be wearing. My sweater that I made an R to pin on. I have a sweater that looks exactly like a Letterman jacket. And so we made an R. And I, like, that's one half of the costume, the other half is the hair dye. That's it.
I think that we also discussed, I don't know if this is actually going to happen, but we also discussed a quick change that Marlene and Aiden could do, because they're both going to be wearing wigs.
Yes.
Marlene's going to have on a blonde wig, Aiden's going to have on a brunette wig
yeah.
for Veronica. We were talking about how they might switch wigs so that Aiden could be Betty, and that Marlene could be Laura Palmer's cousin, Maddie, the glasses-wearing, dark-haired cousin who showed up.
Who's otherwise identical.
Who is otherwise identical to Laura Palmer.
Are identical cousins a real thing?
No.
Or is that just something that only happens in comics and TV?
I think it's like a... In Twin Peaks, I think it's like a direct reference to how the show, at least at the beginning, was supposed to be like a soap opera. Because
mm-hmm.
there's also that fake soap opera running throughout the series
mm-hmm.
in that first season. They dropped that for whatever reason.
Do you remember when Ben Reilly was like, his secret identity was that he was Peter Parker's cousin? Identical cousin?
Yes, and he also just had a different hair color.
Yeah, he dyed his hair blonde. Welcome back to Ben Reilly Cast, everybody.
Listen, I could talk about Ben Reilly for hours.
Maybe we will. Do we have questions? Are we going to be taking questions today?
I mean, I'd have to, like, go solicit them on the computer.
You're sitting right next to your computer.
Yeah, I'll get up. Chris, fill some time while I solicit questions.
So, are we going to do checks and recs, Matt? Or are we going to do our usual... for us, they're still tricks and treats. For you, they're presents and coals. I don't know what we do for Christmas anymore.
Which one is Coles?
I have no idea.
Jingles and bells.
Jingles and bells? What's jingling, Matt? So come on,
before you wreck yourself. Well, let's start with you. What's jingling with you?
Okay, so it is time for the hottest segment on the show, which of course is MMA Update. Now, I actually did not go to class. I take two classes a week. I didn't go to the Thursday class this week because my quads were too blasted. Which meant I was limping around all week. I was really in bad shape. But the last class I went to, I get there. And I always show up a little early so I can, you know, get out of my shoes, get limbered up. And the class right before the adult MMA class on Mondays is the kids class. Or on Thursdays, it's the kids class. So I walk up to the dojo, not the person.
Not dojo, the man.
Yeah, the dojo the place, not dojo the man. I walk up to the school, and it's dark, like all the lights are off, and I don't know why. And I'm like, oh, is it closed? Was there did something happen where classes were canceled? But I see that there's lights on in the back, like in the back room where you get changed and take your shoes off and everything. And so I open up the door, and no, the school is in session, it is full. My sensei, who is like 6'3", 240 pounds, a, you know, mixed martial arts instructor, is sparring with children in the dark, like with no lights on. And I walk in just in time to hear him say, "I fight better in the dark." I was born to it, molded by it. You children merely adopted the darkness. And I was like, I will never find a martial arts school better for me than this one. Because I just walked in and the sensei is quoting Bane at children. That was maybe the best thing that has happened to me all year, I would say.
It's pretty fantastic.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. Other than that, it's just coming up here to enjoy Halloween with you.
Yeah, I think we'll be talking about more about that in a little bit. But for my check, our present? I don't know what we're calling it.
Send it in, folks. Send it in. What are we doing for the 2 months of Christmas?
I want to say that, I mentioned...
Are we checking and wrecking it twice? Is that what we're doing? Are we making a list?
That's not bad. That's not bad. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I was going to be at the Asheville Comics Expo here in my my town of Asheville at the U.S. Cellular Center in downtown. And that did, in fact, happen the last Saturday. We're actually recording this on a Saturday, so it happened a week ago for me. The artist of Copernicus Jones, Kevin Warren, came up to town, and we had our one day of the con. It was a one-day convention. It was a really great time. We got a lot of Copernicus Jones books signed for Kickstarter backers. I sold some supervillain books. We got to talk to some people who were interested in the book or had heard of the book and wanted to check it out. I had one person come up and specifically talk to me about my Arrow recaps and how much she liked them. Even though she is a big Arrow fan, she still likes my recaps. So it was a good day, and it was really good to have Kevin here. I had never actually met him in person until this convention. So it was cool just to have him here, and it was 2 weekends of having comics friends in town to see me, which was pretty fun. So if you were around, came to see me at the Asheville Comics Expo, thanks for coming by. We saw a lot of cool people.
I feel like we're a little closer than comics friends.
That's true, but comics brought us together.
That is true. Comics did bring us together. Actually, writing online
the Cracked Magazine
brought us together.
But we really became friends after we started talking about comics. And I started reading the ISB.
Aiden loves to talk about how I know nothing about my friends' lives before I meet them. We were talking about Dylan Todd and how I know nothing about Dylan Todd's life before 4 years ago. I know Dylan has kids. I know he has a wife. I know he lives in Las Vegas. Yeah. That's all I know about Dylan other than comic stuff.
Yeah.
And it's because I only talk to my friends about comics.
Yeah, that's kind of that's sort of true of my friends. Although I think it's more I talk to my friends and we joke around, and sometimes we'll talk about real stuff, and sometimes we won't.
Sometimes it gets real.
I'll talk to Ben Gully, and we won't talk about any real thing. And then Marlene will be like, "Hey, what's going on with Ben? What's happening with this thing in his life?" And I'll be like, "We did not bring it up."
Yeah. If it was important, you would have brought it up, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We did get to see Ben, though. We got to see Ben this week.
Well, I thought that might come up in our rec segment. Or at least we'll talk about it after the checks and recs. But, we did this weekend. Last night, we kind of had a pre-Halloween party down the road at my friend Sean's house, where we saw some friends of mine, and I thought this might be our mutual rec. We on Sean's...
I had a rec before this, but this has put it out of my mind.
Yeah. Sean has an arcade machine that he built that is, as many of those kinds of arcade machines, is just loaded up with a MAME emulator and a ton of arcade game ROMs. And so you can just hit a button and go through and skip a random list of games and just try them out. And some of them don't work. Some of them turn out to be weird gambling or card game porn stuff.
One that I tried to play because I saw it and I told Aiden, I'm like, look at this. And she was like, oh, try it. It was called Mahjong Erotic Golf. And those are three things that do not usually go together.
Yeah, I don't know how that... I'm not even concerned about the erotic part. I think I know how that probably works. But combining Mahjong and golf, I really want to know what's going on with that.
It was unplayable, I think, largely due to my unfamiliarity with the Japanese language.
Yeah. There's one that I have played before because it came up, and I was like... Because I'm into trivia, but it was called Sex Trivia.
Right.
Which was just a game where, like, you answer... But it was also in Japanese, so I couldn't answer anything. But it was like, you answer questions, and a pixelated woman becomes progressively more nude. Which is how all those games are. Like, you play some card game, and that happens. But, like, it's fun to just go through the random games and find, like, weird stuff to play, or stuff you've never heard of. Like, Sean and I played this one game called The Cliffhanger Edward Randy, which was a Data East Indiana Jones ripoff, where your characters had whips and you constantly fight people on boats and airplanes. But the game that I found last night as I was going through, kind of as the party was winding down, I was going through and I found a Japan-only G.I. Joe game, which is like an on-rails shooter where you can play as Duke, Snake Eyes, Scarlet, Roadblock.
That's it. There's only those four.
It was just those four?
Yeah.
I thought there was one more, but okay. So you can play as one of those four characters. There's a reticle on the screen that you move around, and you're constantly moving forward. And it's kind of like the every other level in Contra.
Yeah. Except for you're constantly moving. And you're running through a stage.
And you have a reticle that you can move around and shoot. And you're just always shooting Cobra vehicles and soldiers throughout the whole game. But it was apparently only a Japanese game. And it was amazing. I got through about the first level that ended with Tomax and Zemot as the bosses of that one. And then, pretty much right after that level, Chris, you joined me.
Yeah, because I did not know you were actually playing a G.I. Joe game. Somebody made a joke about Destro, which that caught my ear,
yeah.
Obviously. But I didn't realize you were playing an actual G.I. Joe game until I walked up and I saw, like, and you were Snake Eyes. And yeah. I was like, oh, I'm going to play this now.
Yeah.
So I played as everybody, but I mostly played as Scarlet.
Right.
Because, you know, they're together.
Sure.
They're ninja lovers.
Sure.
Yeah, they belong together.
So we keep playing through this. We get through some bosses. Major Blood was good. I believe Dr. Mindbender was in there. He might have been the boss of the second level.
I didn't see Dr. Mindbender. I saw Baroness, Major Blood.
Baroness was the third boss. Then it was Major Blood after her. It was a short game.
And also because we were playing it on an emulator, so we had unlimited quarters.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's one of those games where it's really easy to die because there's constantly, yeah, like, stuff coming at you, and it's hard to see.
And your position on the screen, like, you move horizontally on the screen, but to shoot something, you have to be standing directly in front of it, so you're always in its line of fire, but you have to be.
Yeah.
And there's no jumping or dodging or anything, you just have to move back and forth. So it's a really... It's a shoot 'em up, is what it is.
It's like
it's
a
just
light
a weird
gun
perspective.
Game. It looks, yeah, like a light gun game, but I don't know if it was actually a light gun game because you could actually move around the reticle,
yeah,
with the
you
joystick.
You move around the reticle, and it moves vertically while you're in the same place. But if you want to move horizontally, you actually move your person.
Right.
Too.
So it's hard to dodge stuff. So I'm sure it's like a coin eater.
Yeah.
But when you have unlimited credits and you're just playing, it's super short because it's just like Tomax and Zemot. I can't remember who the second boss was.
It must have been Dr. Mindbender.
It may have been Dr. Mindbender. Then it went straight to Baroness. I think they're... Major Blood. Then Destro. Then Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
That was it.
Two Cobra Commanders, though.
Well, it
second
was,
form Cobra Commander.
It was one of those... Well, the first Cobra Commander was a robot.
Yeah.
And then the real Cobra Commander with his big gold epaulets shows up. And you have to fight him. It was amazing.
It
like
was great.
The fight against Destro... Like, when Destro, like... He's in, like, a weird, like... amphibious tank,
yes,
kind of thing. Because you're in water when you're fighting him. And just when he pops out of that tank, like the sprite for Destro in that game is so good.
First of all, ripped.
Oh yeah,
like it is the most muscular Destro, and he's got a machine gun in each hand, looking awesome. But yeah, like the fight against Destro is pretty great.
And then the fight against Cobra Commander is pretty good.
Yeah.
But what's really great about the Cobra Commander stage, because you fight Cobra Commander on a flying aircraft carrier.
Yes.
That stage starts with like a cutscene of this like PlayStation 1 graphics, you know, aircraft carrier coming out of the water and like going up into the air and flying around. And then there's just this like, this tableau, this like, it, this is when it's not 3D graphics, it's just a drawing. There's just this one screen of Cobra Commander looking so badass.
Awesome. Looking awesome. And it's got a bunch of Japanese text.
Yeah.
And down at the bottom it says, in English, the game is not over.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes! I tried to get a picture of it, but I was too slow.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I can find some screenshots to share in the show notes. Because this game was rad.
It was awesome.
And I do not know that it is available anywhere, but like, just to find some Japanese ROM.
Yeah, I've never... I feel like it is a thing I would have heard of.
If it was released in the United States, I think I would have known about it.
But it's I had never seen it before, and it was all in Japanese, so I'm sure it was a Japan-only release. But it had, like, in the character selection screen, like, when you would select your character, like, it would have a little portrait of them, and they would have, like, a little animation, like Scarlet Wings, like... Roadblock, you know, did something, and they would say, "Yo, Joe!"
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Yes, more of this."
It was a really cool game. I don't know why it wasn't ever released in the United States. It was a Konami game.
Yeah,
like it seems like it should have been released, and it just wasn't.
No idea. There's a lot of arcade only games, like a lot of coin ops, that have never been released outside of Japan because arcades are even still so much of a bigger thing over there.
Yeah, it also... I think it was released in 91 or 92.
Yeah.
So it's... I don't think any consoles of that time could have handled it.
No consoles probably could have handled it, and also that was when G.I. Joe would have been waning in America.
In the U.S.
Yeah.
I remember some G.I. Joe games from that era, though, that came out on the NES. Some side-scrollers that I owned, but they are bad.
Was it the Atlantis Factor?
That's the one I definitely had.
Yeah. They're not good.
They're not that good.
No, but this game, like, would have... Like, it's everything you want. You're just, like, constantly... Like, the weird thing about it was you would be shooting Cobra soldiers in the back as they were running away from you. And I'm this does not seem like something Duke would have done.
The observation that I made is that it was the exact opposite of the cartoon.
Yeah.
Because in the cartoon, no one ever gets shot. In this game... Everyone is getting shot all the time.
Everyone's getting murdered, which also might have been why it was never released.
Possibly. Hasbro was like, no.
Hasbro was like, yeah, we're going to pass on this murder machine you have built.
It was fun, though. It was a fun game, and we played it, like, rarely on that machine. Like, a lot of times on that machine, it's just like, oh, what's this game? And then you hit a button, and you play it for, you know, 10 minutes, and you're like, okay, I have a pretty good idea what this is. And then you go to some other game. We finished that game.
We went all the way through it.
Yeah. But it was also fun. Like, it wasn't, like, a frustrating play.
Yeah. I feel like it would have been significantly less fun if we were paying money for it. But you know.
Oh, if we were feeding it quarters, it would have been... Yeah. It would have been really...
But I also feel like there's a good chance we would have dropped $20 each on that game just to get through it and see Cobra Commander.
I mean, there's the rare game where I, like, would have definitely done that in
an arcade.
Did you
ever beat a game in the arcade?
X-Men.
Really?
Beat 'em up. Yeah.
The six player?
I think it was just a four player cabinet that I was playing, but my friend Jay and I at the beach, I had gone to...
You're right, it's a four player, it's not six player.
There is a six player cabinet. There is a six player version, but the cabinet that we were playing on was four. And it was my friend Jay and I was right in that age where, like, I could do that. Like, I was young enough to be, like, super into, like, going to an arcade and playing, and there were enough arcades to still do that. And I had, like, $10 to feed into this arcade machine. So we were at the beach. I'd gone to like visit his family at the beach or hang out with his family at the beach. There was an arcade. It was at one of those like beach campgrounds where like people have, it's not a hotel, like you have a trailer at the beach, mm-hmm. and then you have to walk like a mile and a half to actually get to the beach because it's a huge campground. But at the campground, they had an arcade. And it didn't have very many good games, but it did have a four-player X-Men beat-em-up cabinet. And Jay and I just fed quarters into that machine and beat that game.
I beat Double Dragon at a roller rink when I was like 12.
Yeah.
But again, it was like, it cost me $10.
Oh yeah, I mean, any game like that is going to cost you that much. I've never beaten like a fighting game in the arcade.
No.
Because it's just frustrating. But beat-em-ups, like, the only games I feel like anybody ever beat in the arcade were beat-em-ups.
Yeah.
I remember people getting to, like, you know, M. Bison or whatever in Street Fighter II at arcades. And like, people gathering around the machine, like, oh, they're going to beat M. Bison. And I never saw anybody do it once.
So much pressure.
Also, like, the difficulty on those machines is so ramped up that M. Bison's going to, like, two-hit you and you're done.
Yeah.
He's going to do two Psycho Crushers on you and you're done.
See, like, that's always been my thing where, like, I really like, I love Street Fighter, but I've never been good at it at all.
Yeah.
Like, and I have very little desire to play, especially in an arcade.
I've done fine on console versions, but never in the arcade.
Get like, your stick out. Get the arcade stick.
Yeah.
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 No, thank you.
All right, well, if you can dig up that weird, obscure Japanese G.I. Joe game.
I wish we knew the title.
It's just G.I. Joe.
It's just G.I. Joe?
Yeah. It was great.
Let me see what comes up. Matt, vamp for time.
All right, we're going to get to our comic segment here pretty soon. While Chris is looking this up, I think we've got some good comics to talk about.
Yep, G.I. Joe arcade game. We'll pull it up. A third-person rail shooter released in 1992.
Okay. Is that all the info we got?
I mean, look, I can... There's an awesome poster for it. One to four players. Let's see what we got. It's based on the cartoon series G.I. Joe Real American Hero and stars four characters from the show. Let's see, reception. Computer and video games gave the arcade game a positive review in its July 1992 issue, scoring it 346 out of 400, which is a very weird...
What a strange scale.
Yeah. EGM gave the arcade game a positive review in its October of 1992 issue. So did it actually come out in America? No, it was. It was released in April 1992 in North America.
Then there must be a version of it that's actually in English.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I've never seen that game.
All right, there we go.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for our presents and greetings. Greetings and gifts.
Gifts and presents. trees and tinsels?
Chris, let's talk about some of the comics that came out this week.
Let's do it.
All right, Chris, what do you want to start with? You had a few comics that you wanted to talk about this week.
Yeah, the first thing is going to be Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, Volume 2, Number 1. Again, as usual, I am currently doing some work for Marvel Comics, and also Erica Henderson is a friend of mine. We've worked together.
Both of ours.
Yeah, both of ours. And... So take that as you will, but this was legit like one of my favorite comics in a long time, and it's my favorite issue of the Squirrel Girl series so far. Squirrel Girl gets a new costume. There's a lot of hanging out with Koi Boy and Chipmunk Hunk and Nancy, who does not have a code name or superpowers, unfortunately. You get to meet Squirrel Girl's mom, Maureen Green, which Erica hinted at last time she was on the show. That's really fun. And there's, you know, a weird old Marvel villain who is brought back to be fought. But in a really, really interesting and clever way. Which, at this point, it is no surprise that Ryan North does the kind of interesting and clever twists on superhero-supervillain fights. Because he has been doing that for so long. But it is still really beautiful to see it in action. and to have this, like, evil Hydra robot that he really makes you identify with as a person, and then solve a problem with computer science. It might be the most Ryan Northey comic ever, but really, really enjoyable stuff. A great new start. I love Squirrel's new costume, too. We're getting a lot of dings.
Got some dings happening.
Got some jingling Christmas bells going on. But yeah, it's really, really fun. I really like the new costume, and I really like that it has picked right back up where it left off before Secret Wars.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I have not had the opportunity to read it yet, but I'm super excited about where Squirrel Girl is going to go, because it did so many interesting, fun things in just a handful of issues the first time around that I can only expect good things to come of the issues that are coming.
One of the things that's really fun is, you know, Squirrel Girl is named Doreen Green.
Right.
Her mom's name is Maureen Green.
Right.
Her father's name is Dorian Green. So, of course.
Yeah.
And there's also a line in there, which I think is hilarious, where they talk about, you know, Nancy sees baby pictures of Doreen when she was a little kid, and, you know, she's got her tail, and she's climbing trees, and she's like, oh, wow, did her, you know, was her mutant gene active that early? And Doreen's like, oh, she's not a mutant. In fact, the doctor we took her to said that she was similar to, but legally distinct from a mutant, which is a pretty amazing line.
That is a great Marvel Comics 2015 joke.
Yes, that is a, like, that, like, people are going to read that in, like, 4 years and not know why, but,
I'm sorry, Marvel Entertainment.
Marvel Entertainment, excuse me. Marvel Characters Limited. Marvel Entertainment Worldwide Incorporated.
Yes.
I think is what it says on the checks.
Yes. All right, let's talk about another comic that came out this week. Was it Grayson that you wanted to talk about?
I did not actually read Grayson. I forgot it came out this week. I did read Batgirl, okay, which had a Dick Grayson big guest appearance,
yeah,
which was phenomenal. I wrote about that on Comics Alliance, though, so if you are curious as to what I thought about that issue, spoiler warning, it was amazing. Definitely go read that, and go read Batgirl, because I only touched on one aspect of a very, very good issue. Batman and Robin Eternal came out, continues to be highly enjoyable.
Yeah.
We're getting a little more Cassandra Cain, a little more...
I believe this was a Steve Orlando issue of Batman and Robin Eternal. Steve Orlando, who's writing the Midnighter series,
mm-hmm,
and I think it's very cool that he is helping out with that weekly series.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And he does a really solid job. Like, in the weekly Batman series, my favorite issues are almost always the Tim Seeley issues. I think they're the funniest.
Yeah.
They tend to be the most fun and the funniest, just because, you know, Seeley's a very fun and funny writer. But Orlando, being a guy who is, to me as a reader at least, relatively new, because I don't know what he did before Midnighter.
Midnighter is the first I was really aware of him myself.
Yeah.
I know I'm sure he's got other work out there, but...
But for him to come in and kind of instantly, like, hang with Tim Seeley and Tynion, James Tynion, who we have said is, like, up-and-coming, one of our favorite Batman writers.
Yeah, really good.
Did a really, really fun, solid job. So definitely check that one out as well.
A book that I wanted to talk about that I just started in on, and that actually the number one issue came out this week, is Art Ops, which is a new Vertigo series by writer Sean Simon, who I haven't read any of his previous work. I know he worked on The Fabulous Killjoys with Gerard Way, but I did not read any of that series. But it has art by Mike Allred, which is an instant way to get me to read a comic, is to have Mike Allred art. And it's really interesting, really fascinating, the way that this book starts. It's one of those things that just nabs you with its high concept right away. Sort of like Federal Bureau of Physics sort of nabs you with its high concept really quickly. The idea of this book is that the people in art are real. So the Mona Lisa is not a painting of a woman. It is a woman who is in a picture hanging up in a museum, and
Thank you. We've just been bestowed with cupcakes in the middle of the
conversation. I didn't say thank you because I didn't want to interrupt Matt. I wasn't just being rude.
Okay.
I think I mouthed thank you.
No.
No.
I mouthed something.
No.
I think it was, this was good.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome for your cupcakes.
Yes, thank you.
Are you
going
to eat them or what?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Okay, I'll eat it.
Like, why are we just sitting here in silence?
Matt, Matt was in mid-sentence. I will eat a cupcake. Matt, continue talking about art ops.
Anyway, the high concept is that the people in art are real. And so the issue starts with a group of operatives showing up at the
Wait a minute, Matt. Wait. Do you want something to drink?
No, I have something to drink.
But do you want something to go with your cupcake? Do you need, like, milk?
No, I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, continue talking.
Okay, thanks. They show up and they rescue the Mona Lisa from her painting and replace her with someone who is a stand-in for the Mona Lisa. And then you find out...
Matt, are you sure you don't need something to drink?
Yeah, I'm good. I have something to drink. I'm fine.
But, like, something better than that. Like, something better than Sundrop. Because sugar on sugar, I mean, that just causes cavities. I mean, I know it's Halloween, but...
I think I'm okay for now.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So yeah, Art Ops is good. I guess that's it for our comic segment.
I'm eating a cupcake, Matt. I can't throw to the next segment.
We have eaten cupcakes, and we have changed venues.
Did you get a drink?
I still have the same drink that I had before.
Okay.
And we are here now with the folks who decided to come in during our comic segment. We're here with Marlene.
Hey.
And Aiden.
Hi.
And we're going to take some listener questions.
I see this going off without a hitch.
Wonderfully.
See this being like... Quick questions and answers. Get the people the information they have requested.
No one's going to be put on blast.
Nope.
No relationship problems are going to be aired.
Not at all.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
We're all fine.
All right. The first question that we have is from Barely Sushi on Twitter. How many things has Chris rearranged at your house? How many pictures of Batman and Dracula has he hung up? So far, none. So
I haven't rearranged anything. I have just put things in a way that I think looks better.
I thought you were going to jump to, I've stolen some things.
I am a ceramic rabbit as
a good
going home with me.
It's a good rabbit if I know it's missing.
See, our apartment, we don't have any knickknacks. We just have,
we have a lot of trinkets.
Transformers.
We have a lot of trinkets.
I'm very impressed and jealous with the decorations in your guys' place.
Thank you, and...
Like, I'm kind of embarrassed because you guys have been to our apartment and, like, the carpets need to be cleaned really bad. And
we have hardwood floors. We don't need to clean anything.
I'm
we
so
just,
jealous.
I like hardwood floors.
I love them so much.
They're really easy because you just have to sweep them. I just admitted that we don't mop. But you know what? Who needs to mop?
That's okay. Does your mom listen to this?
No.
Oh, there you go. It's fine. No one cares.
I mean, she loves Matt, but she doesn't listen to his podcast.
So no Batman or Dracula pictures just yet.
No,
but
I did not print out any to bring with me.
But,
if we wake up and there's just, you guys are gone, and there's just Batman stuff that you printed off taped to our walls, I'll be okay.
I feel like I am the kind of person who people would think would carry, a framed 8x10 of Batman in the suitcase. Just put it on the bedside table wherever I go.
You do, though.
I don't hang it up. I don't hang it up.
There are three drawings of Batman above our bed.
Yeah, at home.
Yeah.
They're not drawings of Batman. They're original pages.
This just proves that you love Chris.
I do. Very much.
If anything,
I should point out, I decorated our apartment when it was my apartment.
The only Batman item that's been used this weekend is my little portable bat signal thing that I point at Harrison for him to chase around. So
yeah.
So if anything, I've been using the Batman thing
this
weekend.
Mm. Flip the script.
Yeah. That's right.
People expected.
All right. The next question is from Tales to Enrage on Twitter, our friend Greg Black. He asks, from 1 to 10, how many vampires are trying to get into your house right now to eat everyone? I don't think that's a from 1 to 10 scale.
I think that's like
the
fierce
maximum.
Like, there cannot be more than 10 vampires trying to eat your, get into your house.
Like, the answer is 0, which on that scale would be 1.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's the minimum amount of vampires.
I would go out and say it's probably 0. We're all right.
We're fine. But I feel like a better scale would be like 0 to hella.
Yeah.
That's a
to hell of a lot of.
Yeah.
Right.
As far as I know, there are no vampires trying to get in the house right now.
I mean, we can see your front door and back door.
Yeah.
I would say that where we are right now, what we're more likely to get would be werewolves.
Yep. Because we're in the woods, guys. We're in the fucking woods. That's what Asheville is.
It's true.
It's the wood to me.
Well, this part of Asheville.
It's the fucking
woods. We're in the middle of a forest, mm-hmm. and there's train tracks. There's spooky train sounds.
Yeah.
The train last night. The train last night was the spookiest train I've ever. Like, my mom's house is like 2 blocks from train tracks, so I'm used to like trains going by.
Yeah.
But that train sounded like screaming. Uh-huh. I don't know what the train tracks are made of in North Carolina, because it sounds like it's the bones of the damned.
Well, maybe you are in the forest.
Maybe just after midnight on Halloween is the only time it sounds like that.
Maybe so.
I would say
it's a ghost train, and then you don't hear it after tonight.
Yeah. The most other likely type of monster that we would get
is
would
a hippie.
Be Bigfoots.
No? Oh, okay, Bigfoot.
Bigfoots. I think that's the correct plural of Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm. Bigfoot.
It's not Big Feet.
No. And it's not different thing.
Yeah.
Bigfoots. No,
And then just bears. We might actually get some for real bears.
Yeah. That would be so dope, though. That would
be
so
inside,
cool.
If you're inside. I have a fear. I go jogging on our street occasionally, and I've had the fear of a bear following me. Because why would it not?
The next question is from Discord_Inc. on Twitter. The question is, have MMA classes given you a different outlook on MMA in general?
No.
I think that was for me, dear.
No.
I've been the one taking MMA classes.
Okay, but your answer's gonna be no.
No. My answer is no. No, but, like, I feel like I'm the only person in that class who does not watch or is not interested in watching MMA at all. Because people will always have conversations about MMA guys, and I have no idea who they're talking about. But it did give me a new appreciation for pro wrestling, a thing that I think I was appreciating quite a bit already. But, like, yeah, you know what's really hard is, like, moving around for 10 to 15 minutes, like, even when the other person is, like, helping you out and being kind of, all right, now roll me over. It's really difficult. I mean, like, I already knew MMA was difficult. I just don't enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
You gotta get up that cardio.
Yeah, no kidding.
I gotta get in the gym, get my cardio going.
Yeah, it's like, it's the worst. It's the worst.
All right, the next question is from JoeMama75, which sounds like I made it up.
Okay.
The question is, what is your guys' stance on the original Universal Mummy movies and the Hammer Mummy movies?
I don't have the Hammer Mummy movies. I have the Hammer Draculas and Frankensteins, but not the mummies.
That's
a franchise that I never read. Like,
I love how everyone is asking these questions that they will hear the answers to on November
2nd. After Halloween.
The second day of Christmas.
Yeah. I think that in general, mummy movies are unfortunate. Like, even the recent ones are unfortunate. It's this weird, like, you know, magic land of Egypt stereotype stuff that mummy stuff just can't get away from. I mean, we talked to Benito about this last week. I've never been like a big mummy movie fan.
Mummies are not my least favorite of the classic monsters, but they're probably like second least favorite.
What's your least favorite?
Gilman. Because like Gilman shouldn't even be there.
What's Gilman?
The creature from the Black Lagoon.
It has a name?
Yeah.
Not a good name.
Yeah, shouldn't be there. Shouldn't even be on the list, but here we are.
Yeah. The next question is from King Impulse, our friend, Kieran Shiak.
Kieran Shiak.
What is the best instance of one wrestler dressing like another wrestler? Now, we were talking about a bad instance of that earlier today.
Yeah, we did talk, we discussed the infamous and yet not erased from history DX blackface performance.
If anything, it comes up constantly on the network.
It is something they're still totally cool with.
They love it. The only thing I figure is that Vince thinks it's really funny.
Yeah.
Because it was on, like, the Monday Night War documentary.
It's on, like, the top, like, the OMG Moments DVD. Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's astonishing.
You brought up the only good part of it, which is the Owen Hart impression.
Yeah, Jason Sensation's Owen Hart impression is great in that. But the rest of it is literally everyone else in blackface.
Yeah, it's awful.
Let's see.
Is there a really good instance of one wrestler dressing up like another?
Last night, Finn Balor dressed up as CM Punk in ring.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
What? WWE Gainesville. I think it was a house show. But yeah, all the wrestlers, someone dressed up as a bottle of mustard. Yeah.
How did he get away with that?
House show.
I have a feeling that he's going to get a talking to after that. Because there's litigation happening with that guy.
Well, yeah, that is true. Macho Mando was pretty good.
Unfortunately, it had to be spiked because of Axelmania.
Yeah. Damian Sandow was collateral damage in that whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, surely there's, like, older ones. Like,
all the instances I can really think of are really bad. Like, when Kevin Nash, I guess it was mainly Kevin Nash, when he came out and did an Arn Anderson thing right after Arn Anderson was, or while Arn Anderson was in the process of retiring, and it genuinely made, like, Arn Anderson and some of the other guys in the back, like, mad.
All the ones I can think of are really awful.
Yeah.
Like, all the ones I can think of are, wow.
Yeah, he's in the track jacket.
He just showed me a picture.
He really looks like him.
Yeah.
It does.
We're looking at Finn Balor.
Yeah, that's not like a, like, that costume is not like a parody costume. And the funny thing is, it's like basketball shorts CM Punk. It's like indie CM Punk.
He's got, like, but he's got, like, the Wolverine sideburns, too.
Yeah, what is Bailey dressed as? Is she, like, she...
We'll find that picture and put it in the show notes, because he really does look like CM Punk.
Oh, my God, Bailey was dressed as
a Lego man. Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, Big Show doing Hogan was pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like the best examples are always somebody probably being Hogan, because he's so easy to... He's such a big personality and such a cartoon character that it's easy to pull off.
But that's weirdly not a wrestling thing that comes up as much as you would think. Like, it feels like the easiest thing in the world would be to dress like your opponent.
I'll tell you who the best wrestler doing an impression of another wrestler is. Jay Lethal doing Ric Flair.
Jay Lethal doing Ric Flair.
He sounds exactly like him.
Yes, he does. He sounds exactly like him. Jay Lethal also did Macho Man.
It's perfect.
As Black Machismo. Props to Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal is
for
great.
His impressions.
He should go on the road as an impressionist.
If there's a video, you can find it on YouTube, and it's Jay Lethal arguing with Ric Flair, but doing his Ric Flair impression, and if you close your eyes, it sounds mystifying. Like
it's Ric Flair wrestling with, or arguing with himself.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Jay Lethal is great. All right, the next question is from Andrew James Knox, who asks, do you aim to turn every story ever into a book? What would the book scope be, and how would you present it? I feel like it would just be a list.
No, that is something that has never crossed my mind before.
Yeah.
Like...
That is definitely not the aim of every story ever.
Yeah, because the joke of every story ever, like, the fun of it is that we have to debate where it goes on the list, and once the list is finalized...
There's no debate.
There's no debate, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like if we were going to make it a book, that we would just have to write, like, entries to justify their placement...
Yeah.
And honestly, in retrospect, I don't know how to justify some of those placements.
Some of those rankings are indefensible.
But They cannot. They are ironclad
and definitive.
And definitive. That's right. No, I don't. Even if somebody came to us saying like, "Hey, I love you guys," is every story ever segment. What would you like to publish a book? Here's money. I'd be like, sure, but I would not know how to do it.
I would have no idea.
I mean, if they said, here's money. All right.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Put cash on the barrel head.
Next question is from Strictly Worse on Twitter. Chris Edelman. He wants to know, how many comics are read each day by Chris and Matt, respectively?
Not as many as you'd think anymore,
yeah.
To be honest.
I pretty much only read what I'm going to talk about on the show now a lot of the time. I mean, there's series I keep up with.
Yeah.
But the only day where I kind of like, all right, I'm reading comics today, is usually Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Other days of the week, I'm honestly too busy to read a lot of comics.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, how there's, you know, the job makes it really dumb, because it is my job to read and talk about comics, but because I'm always working, I don't have time to read and talk about comics.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us sitting on the couch and me reading comics and me nudging Chris and being like, hey, this is good, you should read this.
Yeah, like,
like Siege.
Like when Siege number 4 came out, Aiden was like, hey, you gotta see this.
Yeah.
Marlene has read more comics for leisure than me in the past year.
Yeah, I would say that is true. And I'd be like, have you read this? And you'd be like, yeah, it's good. And then we have nothing to talk about.
Yeah. but you've just been taking a bunch of comics off my bookcase and just reading them.
Yeah.
And some of them I haven't even read yet.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, like, it's weird. It's weird to me. Like, if I told me when I was 20, you will own comics that you'll be like, I'm going to read that, and then just won't for a long time.
But that's how adults are with books.
That's true.
Like, don't kick yourself.
I have a stack of books that I haven't read either.
Oh, me too. I mean,
but, like, I have to read, like, between the two of us, we have to read 3 comics each week. Because that is the number of comics we talk about on the show. Sometimes we have not done that.
Well, sometimes we'll start recording, or we'll, like, it'll be recording time. We'll get there and we'll be like, oh, what have you read? I haven't read a lot. Oh, neither have I. Okay, let's read some comics real fast.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah.
But, like,
this is shining a light on this, like, fake geek boy.
Everybody stop listening to this podcast. Frauds.
This week in particular, like, I read, like, that's one of the reasons that I'm trying to read Batman and Robin Eternal every week, because it's something that comes out weekly, it's something that I am interested in, and it's something that's by people I like, and it's something that we get the DC books digitally.
Yeah.
As review copies. So that is something that I am making myself read every Wednesday when I get up. Like, I have a cup of coffee and I read Batman and Robin Eternal, and then I try to read some of the other stuff that came out that week. But, like, I read Squirrel Girl number 1 this week because it's a comic I love, and it's, you know, also a comic that a friend of mine is trying. And I read Black Magic because I was going to interview Greg, and I read Batgirl number 45 because I knew I had to write a review of Batgirl 45 because DC offered it to us early. For a review that went up on Wednesday. So those 3 comics, which I would have loved to have read anyway, those are all 3 really good issues, and I'm loving Batgirl, but, like, I got to read those, and I also had to read those.
Yeah, my reading habits have changed a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I read a lot more number 1 issues than I used to.
Yeah, because number 1s are good to talk about.
Because they're good to talk about, it's a new premise for a series, it's a lot to chew on. And I'll keep up with those series, but a lot of times I'll kind of wait until I have a whole arc to read.
Yeah.
Or something.
I've become a trade waiter for a lot of books, too, like Lazarus.
Like if there's a digital bundle or a Humble Bundle or something like that.
Those are the best ways to ensure that I will buy something. Like, I bought all those Army of Darkness comics for $15, and it is Halloween Day, and I have read 0 of them. But, like, I got Blades and Lasers, which I kickstarted.
Yeah.
I paid cash money for a copy of that. It arrived in the mail. I looked at it and I was like, oh, awesome, I'll read this. Set it down on the ottoman and went back to work. Went back to writing about Power Rangers.
All right, the next question is from Outrider C, and I feel like this is more for Chris and Aiden to answer than Marlene and me. Is your house suitably spooky for the occasion?
Yeah, I'd say so. You got candy. You got a jack-o'-lantern.
You do. Something I didn't know about you, Matt, is that you have a medical diagram of the human skeleton.
That was me.
Framed.
That was me. Yeah.
Framed above your television. It is a nice conversation piece in the living room.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where I would have hung, say, an autographed Jackie Chan Rumble in the Bronx poster.
But that's also a conversation piece of a different conversation.
We have marked where all the bones Jackie Chan has broken on them.
So all of them.
Yes.
Just highlight.
Yeah, we have a skeletal chart and an eye chart above the TV. Just because, I don't know, they look
neat. Why the fuck not?
Do you have a jack-o'-lantern?
Yeah.
Which we didn't get a jack-o'-lantern this week. Mm-hmm. Because
also, can I say that, like, I have not carved a pumpkin in a very long time. They smell awful. They're terrible. Anybody who likes pumpkin, it's because of vanilla.
Yeah.
Like,
it's true.
I will say that we carved that jack-o'-lantern while we were watching Hell in a Cell, which made Hell in a Cell way more, like, made the time pass a lot faster.
Yeah, it did.
Like, certain matches that were really dragging were fine because we were carving a pumpkin.
Yeah.
So, I would suggest anybody, next October,
carve a pumpkin.
When the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is happening, just carve a pumpkin.
That explains why Matt gave that Roman Reigns Bray Wyatt match 5 stars.
Yep. 5-star match.
Five out of a possible 5 pumpkins.
Alright, the next question is from Ultimo Dragon.
Oh, I love that guy.
Who is not the real Ultimo Dragon, I believe.
Oh.
Brew Hendershot is what the name on here is. Who is the worst witch?
Like, out of the four of us?
I think out of fictional or real witches.
Who's the worst witch?
Who's the worst witch?
The one from Snow White? I don't know.
Like, morally?
Yeah, like I don't...
Competence level.
Have you guys not seen the film The Worst Witch?
No.
It's really great. It's like, I feel like it was made for HBO in the late 80s, early 90s, and Tim Curry is in it as the Grand Warlock or whatever his name is. Something that, now that I say it out loud, that sounds like it might be a clan thing.
Huh.
But yeah, it's this really weird movie about a girl who's not good at being a witch. That's who the worst witch is.
I mean, well, that sounds like a movie I would totally watch.
Okay, if you're only looking at The Wizard of Oz... The most ineffectual witch is the Wicked Witch of the East, who just gets a house dropped on her.
Yeah. Like, now, she fucked up.
Now, she might be a much more important character in some of the other Oz stories. I don't know. Like, Ozma or in Wicked or whatever. But literally all you ever see of the Wicked Witch of the East is, in the movie, and in The Wizard of Oz, the book, is a house drops on her.
Also... Munchkin society does not look that difficult to dominate.
True. No,
the Munchkins do not seem very difficult to push around.
Is there a standing Munchkin army?
There should be.
No, I think there's a lollipop guild.
I feel like after the defeat of the Wicked Witch of the East, I feel like the Munchkins are like, never again. And they become an incredibly militarized society. There's like...
Well, they gotta get the Wicked Witch of the West, too.
But she goes pretty easy too.
Yeah.
Water kills her.
Yeah.
Water.
But I mean, she's not great. she's got those flying monkeys.
It's been long enough that we can talk about how water killing the Wicked Witch of the West is a cop out, right? Like a huge cop out.
Yeah.
It's been what, 112 years?
There's no political allegory for that I'm aware of. Everything else in The Wizard of Oz is political.
Populism.
Yeah.
The gold standard.
William Jennings Bryan.
Yeah. But I don't think the water on the witch is anything.
No, I think that's...
It's just Frank... It's just Frank Baum being like... How do I get rid of this witch?
Fire is too violent.
Yeah, like...
Water is like she just melts into a puddle.
Babies are gonna read this, so I can't have them burn her.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Tarot would be also the answer. The Witch of the Black Rose is the worst.
Always Skyclad. Alright. The next question is from Doubting Tom on Twitter. If you could each make one comics or media related wish on a cursed monkey's paw,
ooh,
what would it be?
So, like, if I wish for Identity Crisis to have never happened, something worse would have come out?
Or DC Comics would have gone... Like, it would have... Identity Crisis wouldn't have happened because DC Comics would have gone out of business.
That would have been the...
What listeners I hope can't see was my, maybe it would have been worth it.
We would have missed out on a lot of good Batman comics.
A lot of really good comics. I don't know. Like...
I mean, making it on a cursed monkey's paw, like it's a wish that it's something you want to happen, but you can't be too upset when, you know, there's a terrible twist on it.
Yeah.
I feel like with Bill Finger is my actual monkey's paw wish, that it's created by Bob Kane
with Bill Finger.
Which is true, but it's not... It's
out of order.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. What do you think, Matt? Do you have one?
I don't know. Maybe a longer Steve Ditko run on Spider-Man?
No. That would have been monkey paw as hell.
Yeah. Peter
Parker gets real into Ayn Rand.
Well, that is one of the apocryphal reasons why people think that Steve Ditko left Spider-Man, because people said that he wanted to give Peter Parker more of his objectivist views. And then there was also the whole apocryphal idea about the disagreement over Norman Osborn being the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Neither of those is the actual reason why Steve Ditko left. Steve Ditko and Stan Lee didn't speak during the last year or so.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 33 was like, produced, you know, drawn, dialogued, and came out without those two guys speaking to each other.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
It's about 12 issues of that run were produced that way. But the thing that people don't know, people think that it's because Steve Ditko didn't want to talk to Stan Lee. It was kind of the other way around. Or the way that Steve Ditko put it in his Why I Left SM, Marvel essay that came out last year is that he was upset that Stan Lee wouldn't meet with him. Because I guess he didn't want Ditko getting in his face about, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but like, people think I don't like Stan. And it's not that I don't like Stan. I like Stan just fine. And I've said, if all Stan did was keep Peter Parker from becoming a huge objectivist creep, then he deserves most of what he's gotten.
Yeah.
But, like, I can totally sympathize with Stan not wanting to have that conversation. Just being like, I don't want to.
Sure. I can only imagine that Steve Ditko is a really hard guy to talk to.
Yeah. Because, you've heard the Mary Marvel Marching Society record, right?
Yeah.
Everybody in the...
Yeah, yeah.
And the bullpen is on, except Steve Ditko, because he would not be on it.
Yeah.
And there's a joke on it about how they go into Steve Ditko's office and he jumps out the window rather than appear on the record.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would love to have more Spider-Man comics in that art style, but I think I'd rather Marcos Martin draw them. Because, If we got more Steve Ditko comics, that might mean we wouldn't get John Romita Sr. Spider-Man comics.
Yeah.
It might mean a more objectivist Peter Parker. I mean, it could mean a lot of bad things. But I feel like that's a monkey's paw wish, right? Like, that's...
Yeah. I will say, I love Ditko's Gwen. Like, I like Ditko's Gwen more than John Romita's Gwen, because she's so angry and intense.
Yeah.
And angry at Peter.
I love Ditko's designs of all the characters more than basically anybody's. Like, I love lanky, gangly Spider-Man.
Yeah, like, when John Romita shows up and Peter Parker immediately goes through puberty.
Gets super ripped.
just suddenly, like, handsome and strong.
Yeah.
Like, I do feel, like, I love John Romita.
Something is lost from the character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aiden, Marlene, do either of you have monkey's paw wishes?
No, I don't fuck with magic.
Yeah. I would say I don't fuck with magic. For media, I would say that I just don't want to see my family members on Facebook anymore. Like, I wish I could unfriend them, but I can't.
But like,
because they.
But then, like,
no.
But then,
that means
like,
the meteor's gonna hit you.
Yeah, no, that is my twilight zone.
Like, either everybody in your family dies at that point,
yeah.
or Facebook, like, something happens to make Facebook even worse.
Right.
So you don't see them anymore, but then you see even worse stuff on Facebook. It's nothing but hashtag brands.
Branding.
Yeah.
No.
All brands, all the time.
That's
all
interesting because, right. Yeah. like. That's a good question, because I have a lot of wishes for things that would change in comics, but that monkey's paw makes it tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the next question is from no_more_mutants. What rapper / superhero crossover comics would you like to read? I'm waiting for Bun B to become Beta Ray Trill.
It's a good pitch.
Yeah. I feel like the Run the Jewels Marvel crossover.
That would be stellar. That would have been my answer.
Like, I feel like that's in the wings already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because there were some Run the Jewels Marvel, or there was one Run the Jewels Marvel cover.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Marvel did all those hip-hop covers.
But, I'd be into that. I would totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything with Run the Jewels, I'm, yeah.
I did that, me and Rusty did that Justice League Meets the Wu-Tang Clan cover that was based on the JSA, JLA cover. That would be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I would love for the comic, the liner notes from AT Aliens to be a real comic. I did see an Outkast comic in Criminal Records in Atlanta last time I was in Atlanta. But the single issue cost like $10.
Matt, you paid $10 for a single issue of Shia LaBeouf's comic, so I don't know why you wouldn't
pay
$10. I paid $20 for each
point.
Of those, but I got reimbursed for that. And,
but was it worth it?
I mean,
you got reimbursed for it, and now a celebrity.
I have a story about Shia LaBeouf hating me, so...
Again, was it worth it?
I guess. I've gotten some mileage out of that story. Are we done with rapper superhero crossovers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
The next question comes from Vic Perfecto.
That question was just a chance to get Beta Ray Trill out there, which...
I think so. He'd make it a pitch.
Admirable.
That was an under-the-radar pitch.
Yeah.
The next question is from Vic Perfecto on Twitter. What would make Thanksgiving less of a joyless wasteland nestled between Halloween and Christmas?
If there were presents and a tree and Santa and it was Christmas. But, like... There were two Christmases.
If there were two Christmases. If it was Christmas 2, the sequel.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's garbage. There's not... Like, you can't say...
I don't know, there's sweet potato casserole.
I mean, I
you can have sweet potato casserole at Christmas 2.
We had sweet potato Christmas for brunch today.
Sweet potato casserole, but
I mean,
not
sweet potato Christmas.
Oh my god. You know what I meant.
I feel like that's the title of this episode now, sweet potato Christmas.
Yeah.
That's like someone's exclamation. Like, Luke Cage already has Sweet Christmas. Somebody else has to have Sweet Potato Christmas.
Oh, Sweet Potato Christmas.
Yeah.
We thought about, when we were coming up to Asheville today, Chris and I, or yesterday, we were talking about bringing our elf costumes. Not that we have elf costumes, but getting elf costumes and then decorating Matt and Marlene's house for Christmas.
Or just waking us up in the middle of the night, as elves.
Like 12:01 tonight.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Christmas.
Like tomorrow, like November 1st is the first day of Christmas. I'm really excited about that. I'm really
excited. 60 days of Christmas.
Yeah. Like, I'm really excited to be holly jolly as fuck.
Pretty excited for that. I'm excited to eat more candy and, like, get a, and have things be sparkly and snowy and, like, get to watch It's a Wonderful Life a bunch.
Yeah, like, Thanksgiving Thanksgiving's a bunch of nothing.
It's like 4 days off. Where you have to go rush and see your family and then rush back and then go into the grind before Christmas. And
I think that's the one of the several problems with Thanksgiving is the forced family interaction. There's forced family interaction at Christmas, but you have presents to offset that.
Yeah.
And
Thanksgiving
pies,
is just like sit down and have a huge meal with people that you wouldn't normally talk to. Mm-hmm. I feel like the ways to rehabilitate Thanksgiving... Because Thanksgiving is about, like, it's about harvest, right? That's why it is when it is.
Yeah.
But it's a month before Christmas, so you're just thinking about Christmas, and it's all tied into Christmas shopping. Mm-hmm. Move it to March. Right?
Nobody can. Yeah.
Move it to the summer. Make it the big summer holiday, other than July 4th, which has its own food stuff. But, like, Just move it to a different time of the year.
When's Canadian Thanksgiving? Like September?
Yeah.
It could
that
be
would
then.
Be a good
it
time.
It could be the same time.
That would totally be a good time.
In Canada, there's an earlier harvest. But, like, the harvest doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
It may have mattered when Thanksgiving started, but it certainly doesn't matter.
I can't
believe
Matt Wilson is taking on the American farmer right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it matters to some people, Matt. People, where do you get your bread? Because it matters to those people.
And for people who shop in grocery stores.
But for the people who put that stuff in grocery stores.
It's true.
Yeah. I can get turkey right now.
You can get turkey anytime.
It'll be a good, I mean, it'll be a good test run for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Like,
if you squish it up.
But like, move it to a different time of year. Remove all the historical context.
Yeah,
of it.
That's the problem with.
Oh yeah,
that's the problem with Thanksgiving is because Christmas has a beautiful context to it. It's, you know, lights on trees. It's goodwill towards men. It's
hating people who aren't Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
Thanksgiving has
an ugly color scheme
and a
shitty bird
and a party that we had
with that will
right
attack
before
you.
Genocide.
Yeah, that's. I think that's
what we gotta get that off the table.
Get that out of there. Stop talking about the first Thanksgiving.
Pilgrims.
Just start it with Abraham Lincoln saying that Thanksgiving is a holiday. Make that it, and then just make it a day that is solely centered on like, hey, just eat a really big meal today. Like it can be turkey if you're into turkey and dressing and. Cranberry sauce and all that stuff. Eat that. But we're just taking a holiday so everybody can eat a lot.
If you take the like the awful historical context out of it, I think that I guess Christmas is about this too, but like just being thankful for the people that are in your life, that I don't see why that's such a bad thing.
I don't think the lowercase t concept of Thanksgiving
that's true.
Is bad. I think the holiday is bad.
Right.
Because like Christmas, you can have Christmas movies and Christmas songs, and Thanksgiving has no media.
It has Charlie Brown.
Aside from like Planes, Trains,
and Automobiles.
Oh yeah, that
one.
Too. Yeah.
Which I always think of as a Christmas movie because it doesn't make sense to me that anyone would be that into Thanksgiving.
And the fake movie in For Your Consideration, which was originally Home for Purim and then got changed to Home for Thanksgiving.
So yeah, Thanksgiving drools. Christmas and Halloween rule. Christmas rules significantly more.
Yep.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
All right, let's do... All right, this question is from They Call Me K-Dub on Twitter. I don't think we have an answer for it. This is from Kevin Warren, the artist of Copernicus Jones' Robot Detective. He wants to know, which season of Home Improvement had the best Halloween special? hashtag more power.
I don't know. Ask my dad. No.
Four. It was season four.
Well,
okay.
We can only know after we start the more power cast.
Yeah, the $2,500 goal on Patreon, where Matt and I start our third podcast.
Oh my god.
Matt's third, my fourth, about where we do an episode of Improvement Review.
Yeah. Alright, this is the last
question. Will be like 15 minutes long, though, right? We'll go through it quick.
We say that, but we always say that we're going to go through movies on Movie Fighters really quick, and then we end up talking about them for an hour.
That's true.
Our episodes end up being as long as the movie we watch. Alright, the last question on Twitter
This is the last one?
This is the last one.
Okay.
Super Sentai Bros.
Oh, I like those guys.
Those are good guys. What makes for a good Halloween costume?
Okay. I say this knowing that all four of us, you two less so, but definitely Ed and I are in violation of this rule, I do tend to prefer scarier themed costumes at Halloween.
See, that is weird, because you don't like horror, right?
No, hate it. Well, I don't like scary movies.
But you have not dressed up since 2009.
Yes.
So, what are you even talking about?
I know, I just think I tend to prefer scary costumes at home.
Like, what's like a scare, like a...
Dracula.
Dracula?
Just Dracula. If everybody dresses Dracula, I think Halloween would start getting up there.
I'll just dress as Vincent Price.
Have I ever told the story about my Dracula costume childhood on the show?
Yeah, I think so. Weren't you, like, Dracula 4 years in a row or something?
I was Dracula, like, 3 or 4 years in a row. I always wanted to be Dracula. Because I just had when I was, like, you know, 7, 8, 9, I thought Dracula was cool. So I would go as Dracula, and I ended up going as Dracula to a church function. And this was, I'd actually been, this was not the first time. I had gone before, and it had been fine. Like, nobody cared. Absolutely nobody cared. Then, one year, I show up as Dracula to a church function. A bunch of other kids showed up as Bible characters.
Oh, God.
But I won the costume contest. Because I had a badass Dracula costume with a medal and everything. The next year, they said you had to dress as a Bible character at the church Halloween party. Because I guarantee a parent was like, how did that occult Dracula win the costume contest?
I don't even, how is that even a costume? How is that a costume?
Good God.
And I didn't go, because I was like, I don't want to dress the Bible.
Wait, is Dracula not from the Bible?
I thought he was.
Not the version that I guess doesn't Everybody have the extra books.
No, I think the Halloween costume is just dress as some, just have fun.
I think it's about the enthusiasm of the person wearing the
costume. Don't dress as a slice of pizza. Like, I was about to say don't dress as food, but we did see a really cool costume of a lady dressed up as a bottle of Palm Wonderful.
That
was, like, clearly put a lot of work in. But don't go to the friggin' store and buy one of those costumes where it's, like, a cardboard triangle with pizza screen printed on it. Those are garbage.
Don't do an ironic costume.
Don't do an ironic costume.
Ironic costumes are dumb. Like, the hashtag costume that we saw at the Halloween store.
Oh.
I was just like, this...
It's like, why are you a pound sign?
Like, why would you bother... Why would you bother?
Topical costumes, dicey territory.
But pizza rat. I would totally go as pizza rat.
We did.
I just go as a rat eating pizza, because that's beneficial for me.
Did you see the sexy pizza rat?
I did.
It was very erotic.
It was very erotic. And I almost bought it.
The only topical costume that I can recall that we've done was... It must have been in 2008.
I was Sarah Palin.
And I was the economy.
And you were a hobo.
Yeah.
And we won a Halloween costume. Wow. But that was 2008.
It's really taking it on.
That was the height of 2008. Trenchant.
Hey,
Trenchant.
Guys, just thanks for winning that election for us.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
We did it.
I'm really speaking truth to power.
It was Trenchant commentary.
My last two Halloween costumes, this year's and last year's, have just kind of been closet cosplay. Like, I'm not gonna wear a bodysuit. This year we're Archie and Veronica. I bought a sweater. Yeah. I had
everything. And a wig.
And a wig. Like, and I just, like, I had a mini skirt and some flats. Like,
I happened to buy a sweater that kind of looks like a varsity jacket, and I was like, I could be Archie.
And they were like, oh, sweet, okay, great, that's how I
passed. But the two of you know Archie and Veronica well enough that, like, you want to look like those characters and kind of embody them, right?
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't do a shitty Veronica Lodge.
Right, right. Yeah. Don't do something you don't care about. I think that's what it boils down to. Like, like last year we were Tina and Louise Belcher, and I really wanted to be a good Tina Belcher. Because I love that show and I love that character.
And you are Tina Belcher.
In some ways. And you know, Marlene in some ways embodies Louise Belcher.
It's true. And I'm a sociopath.
And we wanted to do it right. I think that's the difference. Like, if you care enough about what you're dressing as, you'll do it right.
Yeah. But, like, don't dress as a news story. Because I feel like that's a bad idea. Like, we saw a really cute two girls. One was dressed as Netflix, and one was dressed as Chill.
Yeah.
And
that's
cute.
Funny.
That's cute. But, like...
I had a friend once dress... He wrapped himself in newspaper, and he was topical. Which is funny.
That is, like, that's his funny. Costume was topical.
That was his funny. Costume. And it was, like, just, like... It was so poorly...
Like, this sounds like a terrible costume, but in practice it worked really well. This was... Like, I went one year, I went to UNC for Halloween, and there was, like, this big gathering of people on, like, the main drag in Chapel Hill of people in costumes. And it was a lot of just kind of, like, you know, averagey costumes, but there was one guy who was just wearing a big cardboard box that had like lots of lights and switches and like it was made to look like an old computer, like an old tube computer, and it just had written "sex machine" on it, and it was just like, that sounds dumb. But in that moment, it was really funny. Like, like he wasn't doing it as like a as an actual way to get girls. It was clearly like a funny joke. Mm-hmm. So it's also right. Your attitude about the costume while you're wearing.
That's
it.
True. Like, that it is all about attitude. Yeah.
Also, I tend to be anti store bought costumes, mm-hmm. just because many of them are bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like you know, now we are at a point where there are like. With the rise of cosplay and with, you know, superheroes being a major media thing, like, there are a lot of store-bought costumes that are really cool. But, like, specifically stay away from those, like, sex joke store-bought costumes. Mm-hmm. Those are the worst. Also, don't dress up as a racial caricature.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely no, not. No, yeah. No.
Like, I think what made the sex machine costume work is that he clearly made it himself.
I saw a really cool couples costume, store-bought couples costume, where the girl had a, like, the girl costume had a lock above her crotch, and the guy had a key on his crotch. I was like, that's fun. Mm. That's cool. That would be real, that wouldn't make me uncomfortable at a party.
That's what Matt and I are going as this year.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Cool.
I will say that.
Aren't you guys glad you stayed here?
I will say that I was this close to being the sunglasses emoji this year.
Because that embodies who Matt was.
But that's who
Matt
I am.
Matt cares about that character.
I deeply care about sunglasses emoji.
Yeah, I think my whole thing of like, oh, you should dress as a scary thing on Halloween is just my extreme reaction to. I'm a piece of pizza, and I'm a Mexican person.
Oh, those are the like, worst. Oh my god,
yeah. They're bad.
They're so yeah. They're lazy. They're lazy. And they're offensive, and just all.
And like that's your night. Like that's if your you night. If it's you dress up night. As a racial caricature, you're just going to be getting in fights
the
all night,
whole time.
That sounds yeah.
Or like, you're going to be around people who are also the worst, like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your night, and it's your next couple months.
Yeah. Yeah, because there will be pictures taken of you. They will be on the internet.
Thanks.
And
social media.
Like,
yeah.
Well, that's it for our Twitter questions. So I think we're going to start to. Oh, I just heard a knock. Hang on, let me go answer the door. I'll be right back.
Okay. Should I speak to Phil Tan?
I mean, you can if you want to. I'm just going to. I'm going to keep talking while I go over here to the door.
Okay.
Guys. There's a ghost here.
On this fair, lovely street over here.
I think we all know the tradition of the ghost.
The ghost.
Yes, don't you know who I am? Yes.
2 days ago, showing up on Halloween day for recording.
But knowing that the podcast will be recorded.
I'm here to tell you what will happen on November 2nd when this podcast airs.
Can I ask a quick question?
What?
Why did you knock?
I'm polite. I'm a polite ghost.
Okay, thank you.
Why would I? People wouldn't answer if I just barged through and said, I'm here. They would say, get out. This way I came in willingly. Everybody let me in willingly.
I think this is a ghost that likes to make an entrance.
I do. I do very much. I like to make an entrance. Do you want to know who you'll be on November 2nd? Of this
yes,
year.
Please.
Not next year.
So you are telling us our future.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
Do you want to know?
Sure.
Okay. Marlene will probably be at work. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's where I'll be. It's awful. Aiden, do you want to know where you'll be?
Yeah. Yep.
You'll be at home.
Okay.
Possibly also at work.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Chris, do you know where you'll be?
I like that you're leaving some wiggle room in the
predictions. I'm guessing I work from home, so I'm guessing I'll be
you'll
at home.
You'll be at home.
Okay, cool. Thank
good.
You.
Matt, do you know where you'll be?
Well, I work from home, too. I'm sad that these predictions are so boring.
Oh, you'll be dead. You'll be dead. What do you mean he'll be dead? No, he'll be dead. You'll be dead. Not like real dead. Not like the other 40 fucking times you've died on this podcast. But like real dead.
What happens to me?
Oh, you just go peacefully in your sleep.
Oh, well,
so wait, I'll have to find him? Is that... No, you'll be at work.
Do you sleep then?
I actually do sleep most of the day.
Alright.
Well, okay, so I guess this...
I have other houses to visit, so I'll make my exit. But I just thought you should know when it'll be when this is airing.
This ghost really came in and dropped a bomb.
Yeah.
Will I have time to edit this podcast and put it together?
No, it won't! I'll see you later! Goodbye!
Bye, ghost.
Bye! Goodbye!
Bye, ghost.
Happy Halloween!
Again, the ghost used the door.
Well, I guess this is our last episode. We keep joking about me dying on the show, but...
Yeah, you're gonna need to find a replacement.
Well, now you have an excuse not to, really edit this podcast.
That's true.
And I can go to Italy now, so...
This is just going up edit-free.
Yeah, you only got 48 hours, dude.
I don't believe in prophecies or anything, but could you, email me the password to the site and, all the information that I might need to...
Sure.
Okay. So you can pass it on to someone.
I can pass it on to the next person I get to do all the work on the show.
I will say that ghost didn't say anything with too much certainty, because that ghost didn't know if Aiden was going to be at home or at work.
It's true. I do have to say, I feel really shitty that ghost told you were going to die. Because now it'll probably be the only thing that it thinks about.
I don't know.
It's actually really not.
I don't know why you would feel bad about that.
Well, goodbye, everybody. This has been...
Forever.
Yeah.
I hope everyone had a really nice Halloween and no one made any super bad decisions.
No, not at all.
And happy second day of Christmas.
Yes. I've had a good run. It's been good. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
In lieu of flowers, please send money to me.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/LamarcheDavis.
Thank you, dear.
And I'm just going to be leaving the country, so see you later.
All right, that's it for this episode of War Rocket Ajax. If you would like to send us questions, you can do so on Twitter. I'm at TheMattDWilson on Twitter. Chris is TheISB. You can also send us questions at our email address, which is warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. Another place to send us questions is on Tumblr at warrocketpodcast.tumblr.com. Our email address is also where you can send us every story ever lists, quotes lists for the World Heavyweight Champions. If you have comments or if you want to sponsor the show, you can do all that stuff at warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. Go to our website, which is warrocketajax.com. That is where you can download the show, stream the show, read show notes, and leave comments.
We'll put up a couple pictures of our Halloween costumes up there.
We will do that, yes. You can check that out at warrocketajax.com. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and you search for War Rocket Ajax, you'll find the show. If you like the show, leave us a review there. It helps us out. And we get featured more the better reviews we get. Also, I think we should mention here about our Patreon. We didn't mention our newest Patreon backers this week. We'll get to them next week. But if you would like to support the show and Movie Fighters, you can do so at patreon.com/warrocketajax.
$2,500 will get you more power. The Home Improvement episode by episode podcast.
Is that true?
Yeah.
No.
And now here's the part of the show where we tell you where you can find each of us on the internet. For me, all you have to do is go to about.me/MattDWilson. You will find links to all my stuff. Chris, where can everybody find your stuff?
About.me/ChrisSims. That's ChrisSims. There's links there to Twitter, Tumblr, and Comixology. All of X-Men 92 Volume 1 is up there. All 8 Infinite Comics issues. And new to Comixology, not new to anyone else, Dracula the Unconquered. Just went up at Comixology, and there might be a reason for that after 3 years of people waiting for the reason to finally come out.
Aiden, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at GoodnessAiden. That's AIDAN.
All right, and Marlene?
You can find me at Fleshlight. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. No, you can find me on Twitter, Marlene_Isabel on Twitter.
All right.
Where can we find the Ghost of Halloween was 2 days ago?
I'm not sure. Do you want to ask them?
That ghost
I think it left, but I could always...
Let me light a candle and use this Ouija board. To
I mean, it's just coming to everybody's house.
Oh no! Did you want to know where you can find me?
Yes. Are you on Twitter?
Are you Tumblr? On social media?
I'm not on social media. I damn that to hell. It's been nothing but awful.
You can find me in your backyard during Halloween, only one day a year. Goodbye.
Still using the door.
That's it for the show, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Yeah!
Flash. From this day on.
Why did she actually go outside?
I think it wanted to make it realistic, Chris. I think it needed to be realistic for the entire audience in the room.
That was commitment to the bit.
Commit to the bit. It fucking rhymes.